This is what you say in English. Every week, you will listen to Frank's professional advice on speaking for exam preparation or for your personal development. You will get valuable advice on how to use grammar, vocabulary, discourse, and pronunciation. This is Season 2, Episode 40.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. Today, I had prepared a wonderful program with Oscar and Sarah. If you remember them, they were the students that appeared a few episodes back, and they talked about their plans for Easter. And this time, they were going to be talking about their plans for the summer. And the reason why I didn't do it, and I'm really sorry, Oscar and Sarah, if you're listening to this, but the problem was that the classroom, the quality of the recording was really bad. The acoustics in the classroom, they didn't help at all because there was a lot of echo. And in order to reduce the echo, I had to do a lot of heavy editing. And there were times in which, for example, Sarah's voice did not come through very clearly. And Oscar's, because of his voice was deeper, it was picked up by the software a lot better. So I'm sorry, guys. Next time it will be, I promise that we'll record another episode with you, maybe coming back from the summer holidays. But you did a fantastic job, I have to tell you, because they talked about all the plans they had and they did so beautifully well that I feel just bad that today I'm not showcasing their talent in speaking. Next time, I promise. But as you read in the description of today's episode, I have a full C2 exam. It's a mock exam that is part of another course that I use that to teach. And it comes with a full pack of speaking videos in which you can get to see the examiners performing the C2 exam with different candidates. So I'm using that recording and giving my commentary at the end of every part. But before I start, I would like to remind you that there are still many places available for the courses that I'm organizing for the month of August. Remember that I'm doing a C1 course in the mornings, my mornings, and another one in the evenings for C2. And there are still many spots available. So grab yours. Remember that you don't need to make any pledge or any commitment now. If you just want to express your interest in the course, just save a spot, and then we will have a free session well before the course starts in which I can answer all your questions. And if you finally decide that the course is right for you, then you can do and make the payment, and then you join us in the different classes. I have the most wonderful feedback from the C2 course that I just finished this last week, and the students didn't want to finish. We actually decided to create a private Telegram group just for the group and me, just to stay in contact, because we had such wonderful chemistry that we decided that we could not end the relationship and leave it like that. So we decided to stay in touch and from time to time, just have a little chat and conversations about our lives. And basically that's what it means to me, teaching. Because I, apart from teaching, I do care about people and I do want them to learn. And if they can find a friend in me, that's the best reward that I can get. Now, the dynamics of today's episode will be like this. I will let the first part go completely nonstop, and then I will give my feedback and select the different areas in which I will focus on and the different criteria that I will be talking about. I will begin with part one, then give my commentary, then part two, my commentary, and finish with part three and my commentary. Okay, so stay tuned.
Good afternoon. My name's Sarah Curtis, and this is my colleague, John Evans. And your names are?
My name's Inga Spilevaya.
Thank you. And
my name is Rebecca Otatho.
Thank you. And could I have your mark sheets, please?
Of course, yes.
Thank you. Well, first of all, we'd like to know something about you. So, Inga, where are you from?
I'm from Russia, to be precise, from Moscow.
And you?
I'm from Spain, the north of Spain, Basque Country.
Okay, and are you working or studying at the moment?
At the moment I work. I work for the Bodleian Libraries for the University of Oxford.
Okay, thank you. And you?
I'm studying at the moment, University of Oxford as well. I'm a DPhil student.
Okay, thank you. And you said you're from Moscow?
Yes.
Is that an interesting place to live?
Yes, indeed, it is. It is a big city full of interesting places, places which are worth visiting, definitely.
Okay, and how good are you at organising your time?
I would love to be better, actually. I think I do my best. But yeah, depending on how I feel, actually, sometimes I feel like more organised and I can take the best of my time. But sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit, I like improvising too, so.
Okay, thank you. And Inga, what would your dream job be?
Oh, well, it's a good question. I think I would like to have an interesting job, but with relation to my current subject, so just sort of combine my research background and some industrial experience, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you think it's important for people to learn to speak another language?
Oh, yeah, I think so, for many reasons, actually. It's more than, obviously, the first one is the communication, but also it's to know other cultures, I mean. Because if you learn another language, you end up knowing how people think in other languages too, because it's something more attached to the inner soul, something much more deep than a way to communicate.
Okay, thank you.
This start is very promising. I think that both candidates establish a nice atmosphere in the room by being responsive and friendly, in my opinion, and both of them give answers of an appropriate length, which is about 2 or 3 utterances. Take a listen.
I'm studying at the moment, University of Oxford as well. I'm a DPhil student.
At the same time, both candidates maintain a good control of the grammar in this section, but neither of them attempts any complex structures, although prepared speeches are not allowed and they are very easy to spot. Candidates can do some useful preparation because they know what kinds of questions they're going to be asked. And honestly, this is your chance to insert structures like inversions, passives, and cleft sentences, as well as idiomatic expressions relating to, for example, your working life, your studies, and your hobbies and interests. When Rebecca answers the question about how she organizes her time, she very quickly loses control of her utterances, half abandons them, and then also makes a mistake with take and make in the process. She says, take the best of my time instead of make the best of my time. This would have been a good opportunity for her to use a structure like what I find difficult is, or not only, but also. And I think this would have improved her performance considerably. Take a listen.
How good are you at organizing your time?
I would love to be better, actually. I think I do my best. But yeah, depending on how I feel, actually, sometimes I feel like more organized and I can take the best of my time. But sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit, I like improvising too, so.
Okay, thank you.
Candidates must remember that a wide range of vocabulary is expected at this level. So it is very useful to practice talking about familiar topics. Try to get to know collocations and idiomatic expressions related to, for example, your working life, your studies, or your hobbies and interests. Expressions like keeping your nose to the grindstone, or talking about the rat race, or living in a quiet backwater. These kinds of expressions are very useful and give a really good start to the exam. Remembering that discourse management is all about how you organize your utterances and how well you connect your thoughts. We can hear that Inga, in this part of the interview, gives a very well-connected answer in response to the question about her dream job. Take a listen.
I think I would like to have an interesting job, but with relation to my current subject, so just sort of combine my research background and some industrial experience, perhaps.
When it comes to pronunciation, Inga's pronunciation of individual sounds is very, very good, almost close to that of a native speaker, and she uses stress and intonation to bring warmth and emphasis to her response about her hometown in Moscow. Take a listen.
And you said you're from Moscow?
Yes.
Is that an interesting place to live?
Yes, indeed, it is. It is a big city full of interesting places, places which are worth visiting, definitely.
On the other hand, Rebecca displays inaccuracies in her production of individual sounds. And you have to remember that at C2 level, candidates' pronunciation has often become fossilized. That is to say, it has become fixed over many years of speaking English. Nevertheless, some intensive practice can bring great benefits to students. Even at this level, Rebecca gives a good answer about language learning using discourse markers in a very natural way to widen the scope of the question and make a deeper point. Take a listen.
And do you think it's important for people to learn to speak another language?
Oh, yeah, I think so, for many reasons, actually. It's more than, obviously, the first one is the communication, but also it's to know other cultures. I mean, because if you learn another language, you end up knowing how people think in other languages, too, because it's something more attached to the inner soul. Something much more deep than a way to communicate.
Okay, thank you.
So overall, I would say that both candidates performed really well. Some, of course, with their strengths and their weaknesses, but I would say that generally they could make it through the whole part one. There were many things that they could have done to improve their performance, as I said before, but I would say that generally they did pretty well. Now, in the next part, I'm going to let go of part two completely. So you will take a listen to part two, and then I will give you my commentary.
Now, in this part of the test, you're going to do something together. And here are some pictures of people in different situations. Okay. First, I'd like you to look at pictures A and E, and talk together about the risks that people might face in these situations. And you have about 1 minute for this, so don't worry if I interrupt you.
Okay, in the picture A, I see a lot of risk, actually, because it seems they are in Africa or somewhere else in a photographic safari, and they are pointing something that could be a lion or a tiger or a savage animal that can attack these people anytime. What do you think?
There might be several types of risk which those two young men and women could take. So the first one is definitely predators, you mentioned. The second one might be insects or some sort of unusual infectious which they might be exposed to during their wild trip. On the other hand, picture A shows us a very safe situation when a young man is taking a picture of a young woman, perhaps she is his partner, and everything looks perfectly safe. However, at the same time, there might be also some types of risks.
Thank you. Now look at all the pictures. I'd like you to imagine that a travel magazine is preparing an article to promote different types of holidays to young adults. These are some of the holidays being considered for the article. Talk about why these holidays might appeal to young adults, and then decide which holiday not to include in the article. And you have about 3 minutes to talk about this.
Okay, picture A can be very attractive for young people because it's giving a sense of adventure and travel to an exotic place. It can be a little bit expensive if for young people, but I mean, there are many ways to make it more affordable, perhaps.
Picture B shows us diving experience, and I guess it requires some certain knowledge of how to do this difficult things. But It should be very attractive for younger adults, and the magazine should definitely include diving as a part of their article.
I like particularly the picture sea, when you can see a group of people sailing, and in the middle of the ocean. It's difficult to know where exactly, but it looks like in the Atlantic, because you can see it's a sort of wild ocean there. It seems they are having a very good time. It's also a very colorful photograph that can be very attractive for a magazine. Going back to the point of the money that young people can spend in a holiday, that can be a little bit more problematic, because these sort of holidays, they result much more expensive.
Picture D shows a winter school and ski resort, which is a great option for young adults to spend their winter holidays, not only with their friends, but also their families. So it might be a very good option for the magazine to advertise this kind of resort. What do you think about E?
I have mixed feelings about E, actually, because I find it... it's a sort of very, like a stereotype of holiday, somebody taking a photograph to a friend, to a partner. I wouldn't include it actually in this magazine, because it doesn't have any sense of attractiveness for young people.
So the main theme of this article would reflect kind of adventurous experience for young adults. I would suggest to leave A, B, C, D, and avoid E then.
Absolutely agree. There is a strong link between the other photographs. This is a little bit out of place. So.
Thank you. Can I have the booklet, please?
In this part, Rebecca tackles the photo task really well, and she's going straight to the heart of the question rather than merely describing the photo, which is a very, very common error. She uses a range of structures and expressions like a sense of adventure, exotic place. There are ways to make it more affordable. Take a listen.
Picture A can be very attractive for young people because it's giving a sense of adventure and travel to an exotic place. It can be a little bit expensive if for young people, but I mean, there are many ways to make it more affordable, perhaps.
When it's her turn, Inga gives a nicely managed answer here and shows her ability to use language with flexibility. For example, using the phrase "not only" to add emphasis to her response. Listen.
Picture D shows a winter school and ski resort, which is a great option for young adults to spend their winter holidays, not only with their friends, but also their families.
I would also say that her reply is of suitable length, and she uses discourse markers to show the progression of her thoughts. At the end, she doesn't forget to ask for her partner's opinion. Listen.
What do you think about E?
When it comes to pronunciation, Rebecca does struggle a little bit with individual words. For example, the way she says ocean is a little unintelligible, and she repeated it twice. Listen.
I like particularly the picture sea, when you can see a group of people sailing and in the middle of the ocean. But it looks like in the Atlantic, because you can see it's a sort of wild ocean there.
She also made a mistake with word stress and pronunciation when she wanted to say the word savage. Take a listen.
They are pointing something that could be a lion or a tiger or a savage animal that can attack these people anytime.
You gotta remember that having an accent is not a problem, even at proficiency level. But it's very important that you do take care of how to pronounce individual sounds that can make your production intelligible. And also, it has to do with word stress. Word stress can really change the meaning of a word and can make it understandable or completely difficult to understand for any regular listener. So it's very important that you do take care of this. Now, in part three, again, I'm going to go with the same process. You will take a listen to the whole part three and then you will listen to my commentary.
Okay, now in this part of the test, you're each going to talk on your own for about 2 minutes. You need to listen while your partner is speaking because you'll be asked to comment afterwards. So, Inga, I'm going to give you a card with a question on it, and I'd like you to tell us what you think. And there are also some ideas on the card for you to use if you like. And here's your card. Right.
Thank
you. Now, please let Rebecca see it.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Inga, you have about 2 minutes to talk about this before we join in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, generally speaking, there are several important ways which we could use to protect the world we live in. And obviously, there's no need to say why we need to protect our world. And with regard to natural resources, it is one of the crucial issues which humankind is concerned with. And I'd like to say that natural resources must be spent in a economically reasonable way, and we should think about the development of alternative energy resources as well as renewable resources which might help to contribute to the energy worldwide. And normally natural resources might cause lots of troubles. For instance, explorations of natural resources might give some problems to the environment. And they also could influence places of natural beauty. And this is very important to protect because it's the place where we live. And wildlife is a sub-part of this ecosystem. And they are, I guess, all of them are interconnected. And it's quite important to support every part of the ecosystem. And for instance, I should say that there are lots of programs running right now which are supposed to protect the wildlife and to help to save some species which are under extinct. However, they might be not so effective as we suppose them to be.
Okay, thank you. And now, Rebecca, who does the responsibility for protecting the environment lie with?
I think it's an individual responsibility, also government responsibility. I mean, I will correct myself saying that because I think initially it's the government who should definitely put more rules to protect the environment and also educate people in schools or even later on during their lives to protect and respect the nature. I think clearly we have to do our part too, but if we are not educated or conscious of how valuable is preserving natural resources and respecting wildlife, we are never going to be able to respect it. So I think it's a sort of teamwork, you know, general work, coming from the government and going to families and childhood and developing in the rest of our lives.
Okay, do you agree?
Yes, it is actually a good point that the government should pay lots of attention on developing such programs. However, I would suggest that there should be complex programs within the families who would educate their children, who would separate the waste, who would take care of the water they consume, and etc.
Okay, thank you. Can I have the booklet, please? Okay, and now, Rebecca, it's your turn to be given a question.
Okay.
And here is your card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, please let Inga see your card. And remember, Rebecca, you have about 2 minutes to tell us what you think. And there are some ideas on the card for you to use if you like.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, I think culture is an important part of the human being. So for many reasons, one is identity and one is also I think it's attached to personality and something atavic, you know, something really important for humans to develop and preserve. Culture is, has been shown in different ways, like art, literature, buildings, I mean architecture, or language. There are many many ways to express culture. Buildings, they are an important aspect of the cultural import, and preserving them can be really, really valuable. How to do that? Again, I will go back to the government. I think the government should pay for the maintenance of buildings and also educate the educate people in different countries or different areas to have a better use of the buildings or understand the buildings in order to respect them. Other aspects of culture like art and literature, we are really conscious of art and literature as aspects of culture. And I think they should be explaining people the value and educating again people to appreciate art and preserve art. I mean, museums can do a great work in this aspect. Language is an interesting aspect of culture because preserving a language is an easy aspect of because it's necessary in our daily life. But there are many dialects that we are losing in different countries.
Thank you. Okay. And Inga, what impact has technology had on your culture?
Oh, well, I think in Russia, technology has an enormous impact on our culture, especially if we go back to the period of Soviet Union, where there was an incredible development of technology in the country. There was, I think it has not only the impact on the culture, but on the society as well. And for instance, we could see some stars in architecture which reflect this development in culture, and we could see some literature which was developed under the impression of that technology boom. So I think those things are very interconnected.
Mm-hmm. And do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think, I like when she has mentioned the past of Russia, obviously, because that is it has a strong influence in the technology and in the development of technology in these days. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Can I have the booklet, please? Thanks. Now, to finish the test, we're going to talk about protection in general. So, in what ways do you think technology can enable us to better protect the world around us?
Okay. Yes, I think it can do a lot about natural resources, actually. I think it's a broad area that to explore by technology.
There might be different dimensions of this type of protections. I don't really exactly understand what was meant by the technology and protection, but I guess if we are talking about the military aspect of this problem, of course, the higher the technology, the better protection we get. But at the same time, it might cause a negative side of the whole problem. So if one country has an exceptionally developed technology, especially military technology, it might have certain economical influences over the other countries, which has been done in the past time, and history has already seen this examples, I guess.
Yeah, it has obviously a double side in this case, if there is an inequality in between countries. But if there is equality, it can be really beneficial, I think, because going back to military protection, I think it can help a lot about preventing problems that could happen rather than, I mean, attacking other countries, so, you know.
Yeah, I think another example might come from the health issues. For instance, if the technology is well developed and it might prevent lots of things, for instance, in the elderly healthcare, if we have web cameras in the house, or special carpets which are sensitive to person steps, or some special equipment which might help to control the elderly person health, it might be very beneficial, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, with the growth of the internet, How important is it to protect our privacy and personal data?
It's very important, actually. I think it's getting more and more important. It's a real issue because it can be really dangerous if everybody can access to your data, and, you know, it's...
I think in the era of internet, there's a sort of reassessment of what the private life is and what's our individual aspects of life are. So, of course, there should be some new laws developed by the government and perhaps new policies to control, to protect not only our privacy, but also our bank cards, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and to what extent do you agree that it is up to us to protect our children's future now?
It's a tricky question because I think, to protect our children question, I don't know how much we can do about protecting our children, you know, because obviously there are a lot of external influences too. I mean, sometimes you do your best to protect, but what is protecting the future? It's a sort of open question.
Yes, it is a complex. It is a complex problem, and I think it goes just from the environment and to actually bringing in the family and education and privacy as well. So it might have lots of different aspects. And for instance, it might be very important, as we said earlier, to educate children with regard to the environment issues.
Okay, thank you. That's the end of the test.
Okay.
Thank you.
The two-minute turn is principally about discourse management, and Inga immediately focuses on the element of the question she considers to be the most important. She uses a lot of linking words and phrases. For example, generally speaking, with regard to, for instance, I would suggest. Take a listen to how she did it.
Well, generally speaking, there are several important ways which we could use to protect the world. And with regard to natural resources, it is one of the crucial issues which humankind is concerned with.
She also uses vocabulary and collocations, showing off her knowledge of those which are related to the topic in hand. So, alternative energy resources, renewable resources, places of natural beauty and ecosystem, for example. Take a listen to how she did it.
And we should think about the development of alternative energy resources as well as renewable resources, which might help to contribute to the energy worldwide. All of them are interconnected, and it's quite important to support every part of the ecosystem.
Now, about Rebecca, her two-minute turn is a lot less organized and she uses a lot of repetition. You gotta be careful against repeating how important the question is and reiterating how people need to be educated about how important the question is. You can use that resource, but try not to overuse it. But I think her answer satisfied the question. Take a listen.
It's a tricky question because I think, to protect our children question, I don't know how much we can do about protecting our children, you know, because obviously there are a lot of external influences too. I mean, sometimes you do your best to protect, but what is protecting the future? It's a sort of open question.
Yes, it is a complex. It is a complex problem.
Also remember that you can use examples either from your own experience or from your knowledge of the world. And this will enable you to structure your talk better. When Inga answers the technology question, she talks about examples which are familiar to her. And this gives her a lot more to say. Listen.
What impact has technology had on your culture?
Oh, well, I think in Russia, technology has an enormous impact on our culture, especially if we go back to the period of Soviet Union, where there was an incredible development of technology in the country. I think it has not only the impact on the culture, but on the society as well. And for instance, we could see some stars in architecture which reflect this development in culture, and we could see some literature which was developed under the impression of that technology boom. So I think those things are very interconnected.
In the final part, Inge acknowledges that the question is not quite clear to her, but she interprets it in her own way and is able to make a very fluent contribution. Remember that it doesn't really matter that you respond to the question. What matters is the language production. And she did a really good job in this regard. Listen.
I don't really exactly understand what was meant by the technology and protection, but I guess if we are talking about the military aspect of this problem, of course, the higher the technology, the better protection we get. But at the same time, it might cause a negative side of the whole problem. So if one country has an exceptionally developed technology, especially military technology, it might have certain economical influences over the other countries, which has been done in the past time, and history has already seen those examples, I guess.
On the subject of the internet, Rebecca is able to express the importance of the issue, but it is Inge who really drives the conversation by thinking of an extra example, and she does it in a way that also supports her partner. Take a listen.
With the growth of the internet, how important is it to protect our privacy and personal data?
It's very important, actually. I think it's getting more and more important. It's really so because because it can be really dangerous if everybody can access to your data, and you know, it's
Yes, I think in the era of internet, there's a sort of reassessment of what the private life is and what's our individual aspects of life are. So, of course, there should be some new laws developed by the government and perhaps new policies to control, to protect not only our privacy, but also our bank cards and et cetera, et cetera. Mm.
So as a conclusion, at proficiency level, candidates are expected to be able to talk about really quite complex ideas and concepts, and Inge was noticeably stronger in this respect, being able to use not only appropriate language, but also using illustrative examples. With regard to grammar, Inge had a very good control of both basic grammar and more complex structures, whereas Rebecca did make some errors with both prepositions and tenses in terms of pronunciation. Good candidates, as well as being intelligible, are able to use stress and intonation to convey meaning. And Inge was able to do this in various parts of the test. I would say Rebecca, however, would have benefited from some extra intensive practice. In this regard, even at this level, candidates' pronunciation can be improved. With regard to interactive communication, both candidates supported each other and neither one dominated the other. They both listened actively and responded to the instructions they were given while supporting each other. And this was a very strong element of their performance. You would be glad to know that both candidates passed. Of course, Inge got a higher score, but still both of them made a pass. So I really hope that you got a lot of advice from this mock exam. I think they both did really well, and I really hope that you took some notes about this mock exam. And remember that this is the last episode of the season. I will come back after the summer when we start in September with a new academic year, the new school year, and I will come back with more ideas and more English, more speaking advice for you to improve on your speaking skills. But I still have some ideas during the summer. I will come back with minicasts, some very short episodes like pills of knowledge about English, just 5-6 minutes, so you don't miss me over this time. And remember that spots for the C1 and C2 courses are still available. Grab your place. Remember that we will have a meeting about this course, about, you know, to ask questions, and we can get together and get to know each other free of charge. And this is going to be an informative session. Okay, so grab your place. I will contact the people on that list and we will have that session before, way before the course starts in August. Okay, so take your place and remember that it's going to be an intense month in which you will learn the different strategies on how to tackle every part of the exam, including the speaking and the writing, in which I'm sure that you will have a lot to learn from me. So thank you very much. This has been an incredible season, and I'm sure that next season will come with lots of wonderful surprises for you. Okay, so thank you very much. And until next season, bye-bye.